You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following on from my chat with MP Ricardo Menendez March earlier, I spoke with Ritesh Shaw, a senior lecturer in critical studies and education and the co-director of the Centre for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies at the University of Auckland, about the most recent ceasefire deal between Hamas and Israel. This comes following reports of Israeli soldiers having shot and killed 9 Palestinians returning to their homes following the ceasefire. US President Donald Trump has warned that if Hamas do not disarm, the US will disarm them. I spoke to Shah about this topic and whether the ceasefire will stick. What did you make of this development?
I mean, it's a positive development in the sense that you can see that both sides have effectively honored the first step of the 20-point plan. And in many ways, that was the first critical step. But as many commentators have noted, that is in fact the low-hanging fruit. The next questions are about what comes next and how long such a peace can be sustained for.
Why are we seeing this iteration of a ceasefire now, and how is it different compared to the prior ceasefires we've seen in the Israel-Gaza conflict?
I think it's probably a confluence of a number of factors. I think the Trump administration was reading the international pulse and realizing that increasingly Israel was being isolated, that it was kind of going rogue in terms of some of its actions. And I think the United States wanted to show leadership on this. Of course, there are also the personal interests of Donald Trump to have a role in claiming that he resolved this conflict. And I think that those interests have kind of very much driven pressure on the Netanyahu government to accept a ceasefire after effectively saying no several times to the same terms in the past.
We've seen a lot of discussion around the 20 living Israeli hostages that have been released by Hamas, but what do we know about the 2,000 Palestinians, 1,700 of whom were seized during the war and held without charge, being released from Israeli prisons?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, isn't it? That the media coverage has very much focused on those 20 hostages. But yes, the situation for those 1,700 who were illegally detained for long periods of time has largely been ignored. And some of the reports that are coming out from those hostages who have since been released are that they really were kept in inhumane conditions that would contravene international human rights law, where, you know, they were tortured, where they were denied water and food, and basically, you know, also denied any sort of legal representation. There's also, of course, the other Palestinian prisoners, some who were deemed security threats for life, who have been released as well. And again, you know, many of those people who are released are children. And so there's not a lot of attention to the impacts that kind of long period of detention has had on these young boys, mainly.
According to Yosef Bezait, an economics professor at the University of Bezait, the cost to rebuild Gaza will be far greater than the estimated $50 billion, or roughly $87 billion, which was calculated by the United Nations. Who should be responsible for funding the reconstruction of Gaza?
That's a great question. That hasn't been actually answered fully yet. I think that the Trump administration has said privately that they think Israel should bear some of the costs for that. But Israel has not actually said that they will. Many are expecting that the responsibility and burden will then fall primarily on the Gulf states. In past reconstruction efforts, Qatar has played a really significant role in the reconstruction of Gaza from prior conflicts. I imagine that they'll be called on again, probably Saudi Arabia and some of the other Gulf countries as well. And the United States will, as it has in the past, also chip in. But, you know, it's one thing I want to point out here is that we've seen this countless times before. Gaza has been under siege since 2007. There have been at least 6 other escalations, none of this intensity and scale. And every time there is a reconstruction process that follows, and then 3 or 4 years later, you see another escalation. So I think one of the concerns that I have at the moment is that what we're observing now is a return to the status quo, probably a worse status quo than existed prior, And this is what Johann Galtung calls a negative peace, because it's really just about the absence of violence, but it's actually not addressing some of the root causes that have led to this ongoing conflict in the first place.
We'll touch on that a little bit later on, but firstly, yesterday US President Donald Trump spoke about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He said that he really likes him and described him as a great wartime leader. This is despite the International Criminal Court, or ICC, having issued an arrest warrant for Netanyahu almost a year ago now, with charges stemming from, and I'm quoting the ICC directly here, being allegedly responsible for the war crimes of starvation as a method of warfare and of intentionally directing an attack against the civilian population, and the crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts from at least the 8th of October 2023 until at least the 20th of May 2024. With how Trump has described Netanyahu here, are you concerned about what this sort of sentiment means heading forward?
I think many in the world wouldn't be surprised to hear something like that come out of the mouth of Donald Trump. He's also praised Vladimir Putin on occasion, flattered him, and other kind of questionable world leaders. You know, he is obviously engaging in an act of flattery, and we see that Trump does that whenever he wants to kind of win over people. And so I think that's exactly what he's done, and he sees Netanyahu as one of his strongest allies.
Trump has hailed these talks and the current ceasefire agreement as the end of the Gaza war. We've recently seen this morning Israeli soldiers kill at least 9 Palestinians returning to their homes in northern Gaza City and southern Khan Yunis, according to Al Jazeera. How confident are you that the ceasefire will stick?
In the short term, I would say confident that it will stick for now. I think there's a lot of pressure both from within Israel and from the international community for this conflict to end for now. I think the long-term prospects are pretty grim, as I've already noted. What we're seeing is effectively as a negative peace. There's also the fact that in the 20-point plan, there's really no discussion of what's happening in the West Bank. So this is very much focused on what's happening in the Gaza Strip at the moment, but not anything to do with Israel's ongoing annexation of lands in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, and the kind of promotion of settlements there. So I think what we will see is probably a period of some peace or absence of violence, but I do not think that we will see a long-term peace settlement come out of it.
That was the University of Auckland's Ritesh Shaw on the most recent ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas and whether he believes it will stick.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.